Good morning. Welcome to Catalyst. Glad you're here today. Let me start with another question. I started with a question last week. Let me start with a question again this week. And the question is this. Do you find yourself sometimes doing the very thing you don't want to do or feeling unable to do the things you really want to do? Sometimes you feel like that? You know why? Because there is an internal battle taking place within your soul. There is an eternal battle. At this very moment, there is a battle taking place in your soul. Like Kyle mentioned, today we're going to go into the second part of our series. It's spirit, soul, body, but it's walking by the Spirit. And that's the goal, is that through this series, we will learn in a better way. We will have tools. We will take away some things that will help us to walk by the Spirit. Because in Galatians 5, it says this, Galatians 5, 16 through 17. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Can't get any more clear than that, right? Paul says, walk by the Spirit. We say, help. But how, Paul? But he says, walk by the Spirit. This is the result if you walk by the Spirit. And you will not. Not may not, but you will not. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now look at this. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. What does that sound like? Battle. You have, WWE or WWF, one of those things taking place within you. There's a cage match going on within your soul right now. And it's the flesh and the Spirit battling for your soul. And they are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So there's this battle going on. So to prevent you from doing what you truly and really want to do. There's a battle going on within each of us. There is something that is trying to stop you from doing what you really want you to do. For what the Spirit and the Lord really wants you to have and know. There's something trying to stop you, and that is called your flesh. Your flesh. Your flesh does not want you to have the things of God. It's trying to stop you, prevent you. It's opposed to the things of God and trying to block you and hinder you. So what is the flesh, and why is it trying to stop us? If you didn't watch my message from last week, I highly recommend you watching it, because last week, this week, and next week, it's kind of a spiritual, biblical foundation for our church. And I believe the Christian life, but it's for our church and what our church is about, for our retreat coming up, and for different things we're going to be pursuing. And like I said last week, I think this message, a series of messages, it's kind of like a culmination of all my years trying to follow the Lord, trying to walk and live as a Christian. This series is kind of a culmination of almost 50 years. Almost 50 years of me trying to follow the Lord and live out the Christian life. So if you didn't watch last week, watch it. But I'm going to give a brief summary, a brief review of last week's message. So it starts with this, right? So this is the diagram of it's called the trichotomy view of the human, the persons. I go into that a little more in detail last week, but this is the view that I believe in. I really think it's biblical, and it's these three parts, right? Spirit, up top, soul, middle, body, below, okay? Spirit, soul, body. Right there. Okay, so that's a trichotomy view. And I think it's biblical, but it's based on this verse in 1 Thessalonians. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. That's what God wants. Wholeness. Our whole self, our whole person would experience the things of God entirely. And may your, look at this, spirit and soul and body be prepared, preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what the Lord wants for you. That's what the Lord wants for you. So let's go back to that previous slide. So let's first, the spirit at top. So the spirit, it's what connects us to God. It is your truest real self, your spirit. It's your identity in Christ if you're a believer, and it's meant to lead and direct our lives. The spirit, God intended the spirit. This is his design for people. He intended your spirit in conjunction with the Holy Spirit to lead and direct your lives. Basically, the spirit is CEO, boss. It's intended to be the CEO and boss of our lives. Okay, and then below we have the soul. The soul is kind of like middle management, right? It's the processing center of who we are. It's our personality. It takes direction from our spirits. And then it, in turn, directs our bodies into action, all right? So it involves the mind, which is our thinking, the will, which is our choosing and implementing what we're going to do and how we're going to respond, and our emotions, which is our feelings, our passions, something called heart, okay? So that's the soul. And then the third part below is the body. The body is our physical part. You could think of it like it's the worker bees. Our body, our hands, our mouth, our feet, it's the workers, right? And they carry out the instructions from the soul. And it implements and uses the five senses, right? Hearing, touch, taste, smell, feel. So that's our body is what interfaces with the world, right? Let's go to the next diagram. Unfortunately and tragically, right, when Adam and Eve, first people, were created in Genesis, they sinned. They disobeyed God. They ate from the tree that God told them not to eat of. And then as a result, Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Because of the result of our sins and their sins, every single person born after Adam and Eve, which is every one of us, was born with a dead spirit, disconnected from God, not able to receive life from God, from the Holy Spirit. So we're born dead because of our disobedience, disconnected from God. Our spirits died, and consequently, our spirits could no longer direct our souls and direct our lives. All right? That resulted in our souls, I like this phrase, running amok, unrestrained, undirected, misaligned with the things of God, not able to receive the things of God, the things of the Spirit, the life he wants us to have and live and experience. Okay? But praise be to God, we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to restore and renew us, to connect us again to God, and to bring our spirits back to life. Okay, so next slide. So because of Jesus Christ, we've been given new life, an opportunity to be reconnected to God, right? And the Spirit, our spirit, can once again direct our lives. The amazing thing is when we receive Jesus Christ, our spirit is reconnect to God, our spirit is made alive, and the Holy Spirit the third person of the Trinity, God Almighty, His Spirit, is joined together with our spirit for eternity. For eternity. 1 Corinthians 6:17, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. That's why you can have, once you see Jesus, receive Jesus Christ, you can have complete assurance and security. Because your spirit, the very truest part of who you are, your identity in Christ, you as a child of God, a prince, an heir, holy and blameless in God's sight, every spiritual blessing, all those things are yours, and because you have been joined with the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing, unbelievable thing that God has done. United us with Him. Okay, and then let's go to diagram six. Now this is one of the key slides. This is the key truths to understand. Even though we've been reconnected with God, even though we've received all those blessings and we have access to Him, even though our spirit's been made alive and we have been joined with the Holy Spirit and we have a new, brand new identity in Christ, even though we've been renewed, that does not mean our soul has been completely renewed. Because for years and years, sometimes decades, we've lived disconnected. When we were born, until you received Jesus, you've lived disconnected from God, dead spiritually. Our soul, like I said, has run amok. And that has had consequences for your soul. Your soul has become wounded. Your soul has become damaged. Your soul has started acting out and thinking, hey, the boss is gone. I'm going to start taking control. I'm going to direct my life. We don't have the Spirit directing us anymore, so I'm going to do what I want to do. We've rebelled. We've developed bad habits. We've been hurt and wounded. So although our spirits were made alive, born again, John 3:3, our souls have been scarred. Our souls have been scarred. That's why in Romans 7, Paul talks about, that's why we sometimes do the very things we don't want to do, because our spirit, that's our truest part, wants to always live in accordance with the Lord. Our spirits always want to do right because it's joined with the Holy Spirit. It's good. It's always in good standing. It's completely loved by the Lord 24/7. It's the child of God. Even though that part of you, that truest part of who you, the core of who you are, always wants to do right, the soul doesn't always want to do what's right. The damaged, over-functioning soul doesn't always want to do what's right. And so that's where the battle is within your soul. Am I going to align, take instruction, submit, walk in partnership with the Spirit? Or am I going to do my own thing, exert my own will, go by my own human wisdom, react by my own wounded emotion? That's the battle right there. This is a Christian life. The Christian life, God wants to renew and redeem your soul. Remember that 1 Thessalonians verse? Wants to redeem you complete. Whole, every part of you to be redeemed and renewed. That's what sanctification is all about. That's what consecration is all about. That's what surrendering is all about. That's what aligning yourself with God is all about. It's the work of the soul. Your spirit is good. Your spirit is good. That's why you can have confidence that God will never, ever leave you, because he promises that. How can he leave you if he's united and joined as one with you? But that's what gives us the love, the confidence, the ability, the strength to deal with our stuff, because we're secure. We're secure. We don't have to fear God being, you know, punishing us, judging us, shaming us. We're totally secure with him. And he did that so we could address with him our stuff, the soul stuff, the junk, the scars, the wounding. Now, let me show you a little bit more in depth. Okay, we're going a little bit deeper. Everyone following so far? Everyone tracking? Okay, we're going to go a little bit deeper into God's design for how all these things, spirit, soul, body, functions together. Okay, this is going to be a little bit complicated slide, but we'll walk through it. Okay, let's go to the next one. Okay. Again, at the top, you have our spirit united with the Holy Spirit. Right? Our spirit is one with the Holy Spirit. And again, the top, it's intended to give direction. And see that little green line in the middle? That's your connection of your soul to your spirit and the Holy Spirit. You're connected now. You're connected now. Okay? That connection is crucial. We'll talk about more of that more later. But the more we open that connection up, the more we grow that connection and enlarge that connection with our spirit and the Holy Spirit and God, the more power of his spirit will flow in your life to bring healing and wholeness and life to your soul. That's why connection with the spirit, not only just knowing it, but living out that connection, growing, doing things in your life to enlarge that connection is so crucial, because your soul cannot be healed without the Lord healing it, without the Spirit touching and healing and encouraging and helping you crucify the flesh. Your soul can't get healed. It's a work of God, of the Spirit, through your connection and experience of him working in that area, you inviting him to work in those areas of your life. So, spirit, that connection is crucial. We want to enlarge that. Next, we'll go to the bottom, our body. Our body interface with the world, right? Through our five senses, we experience the world. And through our body and our senses, it gives input. Those are those black arrows going up. It gives input to our soul, right? Through the body, we experience the world. And that's what gives input, information to our soul, right? To our soul. In the soul, I said, that's the processing center. So the soul is getting input. If depending on how big your connection is to the Spirit, your soul is getting input from the Lord, input from the Spirit. Your soul's getting direction, life. But from your body, your soul is getting input from being in the world. So what happens? Your mind and your emotions start processing. It starts processing the things of the Spirit, the things that you're receiving from the body. It starts processing. Your mind starts thinking, starts trying to understand, starts processing, trying to discern. Your emotions are responding or feeling different things from the inputs. And then your will in the center has to choose your action, your response from all those inputs. Your will decides, okay, this seems right, this is what I'm going to do. And then it instructs your body to act. Those are those two green and red arrows. If your soul is damaged, the way you're understanding and interpreting and in processing all these inputs, or ignoring the things of the Spirit, what's going to come out? Bad actions, negative actions, sinful actions, hurtful actions, right? Okay. Are we good? Okay, let's go on. This will clarify it a little bit more. Let's take a closer look at our soul. Diagram 8. Okay, this is just looking at the soul, right? So this is what I just talked about. The mind and the emotions are processing, thinking, feeling, and then your will is taking that in, and then your will is deciding what actions. If your soul is majority healthy functioning, if your soul, your mind operating in truth, your emotions healthy, you have emotionally healthy spirituality, like Mimo and Kyle's class they've been teaching. If those are healthy, then your will is able to make some, and your will is strong, able to make good choices, then you're going to have positive actions come out of your life. Next slide. This is a picture of under-functioning soul. Wounded soul. That's what all those red things are in your mind, your will. It's woundings, right? Wounding to your soul. And so it could be like with your mind, from past experiences you've had, you're believing lies. You're believing lies about God, about yourself, about people, about the world, right? It could be, right? It could be your emotions. Your emotions are shut down. Maybe when you were a kid, this is very common, when you were a kid, your parents never acknowledged your emotions. It was always like, get over it. Big boys don't cry. Just ignore them. Just ignore that. Your emotional side was never nurtured, developed. So either your emotions are like a child, or you just shut that part down and you suppressed it. So some people not even aware of how they feel. That's a wounded soul. Under-functioning. It's not functioning properly. Either your mind, your will, or your emotions in some way. What does that lead to? Weak action. Passivity in living your life. Inaction in your life. Okay, let's go to the third one. Next slide. This is the over-functioning soul. It's run amok, right? Like I said, your soul ran amok. So, your mind. You put so much weight on your own intelligence, your own knowledge, your own ability to understand, your human understanding, that drives and dictates your life to the exclusion of the things of the Spirit, the revelations of the Spirit, right? The understanding of supernatural things. Or maybe your emotions. You've been hurt. You've been wounded. So you're very reactive. You just live out impulsive. You're just living out of your emotions, reacting. You have outbursts of anger, all these different things, right? That's an over-function. God never intended your soul, your emotions to function that way. It's because it's hurt, wounded, trying to take control, dictating your life, leading your life, some people's lives, into shambles, or your will. your will is, sis. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's not the real I. If you're a believer, your real true I is what? Your spirit. But your will tries to usurp control and say, no, no, I'm going to do this. No, I don't care what the scripture says. I'm going to do this. And it leads to negative, hurtful actions and behavior. You know what that's called? The flesh. That is what wars against the spirit within you. Let's look at Romans 8. Romans 8, 5 through 9. This is very critical teaching. For those who are according to the flesh, that red, the over-functioning soul, for those who are according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is what? Death. God gave you your spirit, connected you to God to reap life. But your soul, the over-functioning, rebellious part of your soul, wounded part of your soul, it will lead to death. But the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh, look at this, the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God. Doesn't want to submit. Doesn't want to surrender. Doesn't want to come into alignment. For it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're a believer, your spirit is always pleasing to God. The truest part of who you are is always, always, always pleasing to God. But it's our soul. It's that over-functioning, wounded, rebellious part of our soul that does not want to please and cannot please God. Verse 9. However, this is what I was just talking about. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, if you've received Jesus Christ, the spirit of God dwells in you. That's a fact. The moment you received Jesus Christ, the spirit of God came into your life, connected you with God, made your spirit alive. Christ says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Let's look at the next diagram. Okay, this kind of puts together everything I was talking about. The Holy Spirit in union with your spirit, there's a connection to your soul. How broad and big and wide that connection is will determine how much of the life, the influence of your spirit giving direction to your soul is happening. That's why that is so critical. That's why things like hearing God's class, hearing God's voice, so critical, because it starts enlarging that connection. coming to worship service. A lot of people don't realize it's helping to enlarge your connection. When you're in worship, when you're in fellowship, when you're hearing the word of God, when you're praying and getting prayer, it's helping to enlarge that connection. It's not just, oh, I'm just going to miss a Sunday, I'm just going to skip church, or I just got other things to do. We do. But you're making choices of whether you're going to try to grow that connection, increase that connection, because that's everything in terms of living your life, your connection with the Spirit. So that's the top. The bottom part, you know, we're all a mixture. Some of parts of our souls are healthy. Some part of our souls are under-functioning, wounded. Some parts of our souls are over-functioning and try to take control and direct our lives. It's all that combination of things. And that's what the Lord wants to address. Because He wants you to experience His life, the fullness of what He has for you. Your soul is in a fight for redemption. This is key. This right here, I believe, is the key of learning how to walk by the Spirit. How to walk by the Spirit. Okay, right now, we're going to have not a lab time. We're going to do a practicum. Felt like the Lord brought that word. No, it's not a lab, it's a practicum. I went on Google, I looked up practicum, what practicum means. This is what practicum means. A supervised learning experience where students apply theoretical knowledge, all this is theoretical knowledge, where students apply theoretical knowledge to practical situations. That's what a practicum is. It's taking this and being willing to apply it to your lives. That's what this is going to be, okay? Now, there's three things that our souls need right here. In summary, three things our souls need to walk by the Spirit. Number one, we need our wounds healed. The more your wounds are healed, the more you're willing to look at that stuff, the more you're open to going to prayer ministry team and get ministered to, or counseling, or trying to address that. The more you're doing that, that's what your soul needs. Wounds healed. Two, we need our flesh crucified. We need that over-functioning part put to death. Galatians 4:24 says we should be crucifying our flesh. That's what it's talking about. The rebellious, overdeveloped parts of our thinking. We just live our lives according to our own thinking and our own human understanding, or our emotions, or reactive all the time and driving us to do things we don't really want to do, or our will is being stubborn, right? Rebellious. We need to crucify our flesh, too. And three, our spiritual connection needs to be enlarged. This is sanctification. This is what Christian life is about. Enlarging the connection to God, letting Him in partnership with us, because He's not going to do it unless you invite Him to. He's a gentleman. He's humble, but He's powerful. So He's not going to come in and usurp your will, but if you invite Him in, He will come with power and with love and with grace to heal and to help you crucify. Okay, so we're going to have a practicum, and we're going to do a spiritual checkup, all right? And so, can we have those sheets passed out right now? All right, they're passing out some sheets. Can you go to the next screen? Let me read this verse as they're passing out. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples of mine. Look at this. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Healing. That's healing. Jesus came to bring healing. Okay. We're going to examine. Let's see. Damon, can you go back to that? Matt, can you go back to that last slide? No, that's this diagram. Yeah. There. Okay, this sheet, it's a soul check. It's to help you assess your soul. And for the purpose of today, and we're probably going to continue this, looking into this at the retreat, but this is to help you assess. That's why I believe the model is so important. It's so helpful because it helps us to assess the condition of our soul and where we need healing and what we need crucified, okay? And so we have the mind. Let's see. Actually, look, Matt, can you go to the sheet, this slide with the sheet on it, all those questions? Okay, we have the mind, we have the emotions, and this first, it's the top part of your sheet. This is the part of your soul that potentially could be wounded, okay? Could be wounded, suppressed, all right? And then we're going to go into the over-functioning part. Okay, so what we're going to do is, actually, I'm going to pray, and we're going to invite, like David, search me, O Lord, and know me. Search me and try my heart and see if there be any hurtful way in me, either where you've been hurt or you've been hurting others or hurting yourself. And so we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come lovingly, gently, to help us to see what and assess what's the condition of our soul, okay? So let's pray. Father, thank you for your heart for us. Thank you. You want to redeem us complete, holy, Lord, all of us. You want our souls to function in a healthy way, to be fully functioning. You want our souls to know your love and your power and your goodness, so it could facilitate us living in this world and experiencing life the way you want us to. And so, Lord, thank you that you're safe. Thank you that you love us as much as you can love us. You cannot love us one bit more or one bit less, because love is who you are. And so, Lord, bring that sense of security and safety. Holy Spirit, come in and touch each one to feel at peace, not anxious. We don't have to feel anxious about this. We don't have to feel nervous or feel like we're going to get condemned. But it's to help free us and help us grow. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to move. We invite you to move. Okay, so for the under-functioning, the wounded soul, basically as we read through these, I want you to see if there's one thing in particular that stands out for you. It's like, oh yeah, I can relate to that, or that's me. for those that may have an under-functioning, wounded mind, lack of critical thinking ability, you minimizing of the facts, not value study or research to help discern, believing in lies about God, yourself, others, or circumstances, or beset by doubts about God, your faith, your identity, question God's love for you, question God's forgiveness of all your sins. Those are some of the things of the mind. For the emotions, your emotions are suppressed or they're flatlined. That means it's just like this. Your emotions tend to be like this. Very small range. You don't experience too much joys or too much lows. It's just kind of flat. You feel like there's a lack of emotional awareness. If someone says, how you feel? You go, I don't know. Right? Or you just go to the basic happy, sad, mad. You feel like you have no voice to express your emotions. Kind of no sense how you feel, but it's hard to express it. You know that there's unaddressed trauma or neglect in your life or fears. You have difficulty connecting hearts with others. When people talk about heart connection, it's like, I don't know what that means. And I'm not sure what they're talking about. With the will, this is wounded will. You're very passive or undisciplined. It's the will that makes choices, and then you're able to follow through on those choices. That's discipline. You're resisting making a prayer ministry appointment even though God has prompted you to do so. You seek medical help first without considering seeking. It's hard to be consistent with good habits or spiritual disciplines. That's a will issue. You're continually putting off addressing key areas of your life that you know you need to address. You just keep putting them aside, sweeping them under the rug. Or you're constantly making new vows or new New Year's resolutions. Okay, so those are some of the under-functioning wounded souls. There's a lot of other things, but those are just some things to prompt. How about the over-functioning or controlling soul, the parts that need to be crucified? Galatians 4:24 says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So over-functioning, controlling, these things tend to dictate aspects of your life. Your mind constantly worry. You know what I realized is that worry, that's of your mind. Anxiousness or anxiety, that's of your emotion. But worry is when you constantly keep thinking about it and you can't stop thinking about it. You keep thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. So constantly worry your mind. This is fleshly mind. You seek to control the unknown through your own knowledge. You seek medical help first without even considering seeking God or prayer about it. You're paralyzed by the unknown. When there's too many things unknown, you feel paralyzed. You delay your decisions until you feel certain. It's like, no, I can't. I have to do more research. I need to do more research until I feel like I'm certain of my decision. The emotions, fleshly emotions. Frustration causes you to yell at your kids to discipline them, and that's habitually. You pursue unhealthy or unbiblical relationships, either dating or romantic or friendships. You feel resentments or bitterness that keeps you from forgiving or reconciling other people. Some of us have people that we know we need to forgive that person, and we continue to hold on to it. We have anxiety that leads to unethical actions or unethical financial decisions, or habitually making impulsive decisions in your life. There's just some examples of soul, of emotions, and then will. You do not submit career, relationships, or finances to God's authority. Do not seek God first on major decisions. You just rely on your own self. You ignore Bible truths if inconvenient. You only pick and choose, cherry pick the truths of the Bible that you like, and some of the other ones you tend to ignore or discount. You make all financial decisions yourself. You seek to escape problems instead of seeing them as growth opportunities. That's submitting to God's sovereignty in our lives. You have a hard time receiving help. Very self-sufficient. Okay? So what I want to do is just kind of look and try to ask the Lord, what's one thing here? What's one thing here that you're highlighting to me? And then as we go into worship, what I want you to do, two things. Bring that thing to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do about it? What do you want me to do? And then the second is, Lord, how can I increase and enlarge my connection to you? What do you want me to do? Okay? And so let's have the worship team come up now. Okay, let's pray. Let's go to the Lord. Father, would you come now through your Spirit? To affirm your goodness, your grace, your love for us, that you want the very best for us, Lord. You want the very best for us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would prompt us to action, Lord. That you would speak very specific things and instructions, Holy Spirit, on what you want us to do, Lord, to partner with you for our own healing, to partner with you to put to death and crucify the things of the flesh, and to partner with you to increase our connection to you, to our spirit, to the Holy Spirit. So as we enter into this worship now, Lord, I pray that you would speak. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We welcome and acknowledge you here. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.